Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't think Amari Cooper is going to come in and be a big-time field stretcher for the Bills. You know, maybe earlier in his career that was more of what he did. But to your point, the Bills are kind of choosy with their shot plays, which doesn't necessarily line up with the frequency that Josh Allen throws the ball down the field. And so I think where Cooper is really going to be an asset is in the intermediate areas where you just need a guy to go get a bucket, to run a route, to uncover, to be a route technician and separate.
There is the voice of Joe Marino. Joined Jeremy and Joe earlier today, talking, of course, the Amari Cooper trade, two wide receiver trades yesterday in the NFL. And for more on that, we go now to the Western Hotline as Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, how are we doing this morning? I mean, we're a little under 24 hours since the Amari Cooper trade happened. So, I mean, how's it sitting with you?
Well, I mean, I think, as I said to the morning show guys and yesterday, I think you have to work really, really hard to get to a place where you don't think there's a, like, that you think it's a bad trade for the Bills. Now, if you think it won't work, that's fine and reasonable and fair. If you are skeptical, you know, what kind of impact he's going to make on the Buffalo Bills, that's reasonable, skeptical, and fair. But I think you have to work really hard to say it's a bad trade in any respect for the Bills. Like, what could be bad about it? Losing a third round pick next year, I guess. I mean, you know, it's a third round pick. You are essentially, you know, getting, though, however, a guy who is still really good. He's had 7 1,000-yard seasons, and you're paying him less than $1 million, not only cash, but on your salary cap. And it's a player you need. It's a position you need. So, again, I think that anyone who says it's a bad trade is just looking for an agenda and has an agenda to say that, and you have to work hard to get there. But it's perfectly reasonable to speculate or be skeptical how much of an impact it's going to make, and that's what we're going to see going forward.
Sal, one of the craziest things about all this is how fast these two trades happen together. And do you think that this trade still would have been that quick if Adams had gone to, let's say, the Saints instead of the Jets? Like, is it just because it's the Jets, or is it just because, hey, that guy is now gone, we need to go get the next best thing?
It's a great question. We'll talk with Brandon Bean. We're scheduled to hear from Brandon Bean later today. And I wonder, you know, that's part of the, you know, thing we'll talk about and ask him, like, what about the timing here? How much did the Jets trade for Devontae Adams have? How much of an impact, not only from just a practical standpoint of them adding, you know, a wide receiver, but also the timing of it? Like, were they monitoring and trying to get in on Adams? Now, I don't think you're going to get the full answer from Brandon Bean. You know, he's not going to give you all the behind the scenes, exactly how it went down. That's just not going to happen, but he might give an indication on, you know, when things happened and once that one move made it, that kind of set the market or something like that. So I also find it interesting, the timing. I would doubt that the Bills and Browns just started talking, you know, what, 35 hours ago, probably something between, you know, the two sides had been talked about going back, but we'll find out. I remember last year when they traded for Rasul Douglas and they said, Brandon Bean said, they had actually, you know, checked in on Douglas a couple of weeks before that, and they just kind of stayed in contact. And then once it came time to the trade deadline, that's when they made the deal.
So, Sal, then, on Cooper, me and Josh were having this conversation as well. And in part, it is due to the Bills, but also the Jets kind of being pretty open about the fact he's playing on Sunday night. I mean, the hamstring, I mean, the miracles of modern medicine. He's ready to go after missing a few games with the Raiders. But I think everyone kind of anticipates he's going to play a major factor on Sunday night for the Jets. I'm less so certain a Cooper's going to play a major role for the Bills Sunday against Tennessee. I think the Bills do like to slow play it. Also, of course, there's not the connection between Allen and Cooper like there is between Adams and Rodgers. But for me, at least just personally, if he's in a limited role this Sunday, I'm fine. I think, though, by Seattle the next week, I think that's probably, I feel like he's got to be full go, right?
I mean, it remains to be seen, guys. All these situations are always different. You know, you get a guy comes into your building. He's got to learn a new system, maybe. He's got to work and the chemistry's got to matter, you know, with the quarterback. Like, Devontae Adams goes to the Jets. He's worked with Aaron Rodgers a lot in his career, right? I mean, like, so they have that chemistry, but we'll see how much that translates to, you know, the offense and how much they want to incorporate him right away. But I think that he would have an advantage there to get on the field a little bit quicker than maybe Amari Cooper would here. But you could also just say, look, we're going to put him on the field. He's a 10-year vet. He's been in different systems. His same wide receivers coach from Dallas in 2021 is now the Bills wide receivers coach, Adam Henry. So I'm sure Adam Henry can get him in and, hey, remember when we did this in Dallas? This is what this is. And here's the terminology here. This is how you connect these things. So I don't know if there's one right answer there, guys. I mean, we'll see. They already released Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Now, that doesn't mean that automatically they're only going to roll with five wide receivers and these five they had on the roster on Sunday. They could elevate someone. They could elevate Tyrell Shavers to the active roster or someone else until they get Amari Cooper up to speed. But no, well, those are things we'll find out as today and the rest of the week roll on.
So, Sal, maybe my favorite thing of this trade, and Cooper was the guy I was kind of banging the drum for. The Adams situation never really made sense for me, especially with, I mean, as we saw with the Jets, how much money they had to eat up just for this year. And then I think they've already reworked some of the contract to maybe extend this past this year. But for me with Cooper, number one, as you brought up too, I think he's 800 grand this year. Very cheap wide receiver to bring on, especially if his caliber. I think maybe though the thing I'm most excited for, especially even if this just works out kind of, is it pushes everyone down a peg, right? I think a big thing for me right now is I do want to see maybe what Keon Coleman can do in the slot. A lot of draft experts really like the idea of him being a big slot, and for the most part, the Bills have had him as an outside wide receiver. Khalil Shakir, you have as a slot guy. You know, I think that's kind of what his role is going to be. But I think just having Cooper on the roster, and I think that's even where if he's just a limited role against Tennessee, just having everyone go down a peg and maybe more correctly fill out their roles, I think can do wonders for this offense.
Yeah, you know, I like to use a basketball analogy a lot when talking about this. I think it makes sense. Sometimes when you think about if you have, you know, two guards who aren't, you know, one's really, you don't really have a true point guard. So you have to have one of your shooting guards play point guard. Well, now everybody's kind of a little bit different because you're not really fitting into the right spot. But all of a sudden you get a really good point guard, right? And you're like, wait a minute, now I can allow that shooting guard to actually move to his original spot where he belongs a little bit better. And everything just flows differently. You're in the right spots. Now, in football, obviously, we're not talking about necessarily slot versus outside. They have a slot receiver in Khalil Shakir, right? People have speculated maybe Keon Coleman can move over to the slot a little bit more. And I wouldn't doubt that that could possibly happen at some point. I don't know if there's a little too much put on him there. For me, though, it's not even about slotting in the right spot positionally. It's kind of where they rank on the totem pole, right? If you go out to a game and you're a defensive coordinator and you're playing the Buffalo Bills, you're like, yeah, who's the guy that threatens us? Well, they don't really have one guy. So, you know, we just kind of got to cover him the way we do, and we'll go man-to-man. Well, now you put Amari Cooper in the mix. You're like, you know what? We got to have a little more attention there. So now you put a little more attention there. Maybe you shade the safety over a little bit to Amari Cooper. Well, now Dalton Kincaid has a little more room. Now Khalil Shakir has a little more room. I think that's where this winds up happening is, as you say, knock him down a peg. That's right, which is, I don't know like how you want to rank them. You want to put him number one atop the depth chart, whatever it is. I just think that Cooper gives the offense to have a little bit more attention put on him. When they're on the field, the defense will have to put a little more attention on him, which opens up a little bit more for everybody else.
So, Sal, I know it's a bit different because it's, you know, a shorter week, but I think you said there's like a walkthrough practice today. And, you know, what are we going to see from that? You think Cooper might be there, be somewhat involved? It is just a walkthrough. So is there a chance that he could be out on the field with the team today?
Yeah, there's a chance. I don't know that for sure, guys. You know, we'll find out later. We're not going to be able to watch anything as the media walkthrough. We don't see the walkthroughs. We don't go to it. So the media can't see that. So, you know, we'll be there later today. Sean McDermott will speak to the media at 2:15 p.m. And then I believe 2:15. I'll check on that. But it's in the 2 o'clock hour. And then they'll have a walkthrough. Yeah, it's 2:15. They'll have a walkthrough and close to the media. After that, at approximately 3:45 p.m., we're going to hear from Josh Allen, as we normally do. It's a normal Wednesday. We'll hear from select players. And if Amari Cooper is there, maybe we'll hear from him as well. That remains to be seen. And then we are also scheduled to hear from Brandon Bean right around that time or a little bit later, guys. So I know we're planning on carrying that on Chopin the Bulldog today. So if you want to hear what Brandon Bean has to say, you know, we'll have that for you.
Very, very busy day over at One Bills Drive. Sal, moving off of Cooper here just real quick, you could argue the Cooper trade maybe kind of saved some of this conversation for later down the road, or maybe not at all. But for the Jets game, I know a big talking point for a lot of fans on social media has been Tyler Bass, and it seemed to really come to light on Monday night. Where do you think the Bills go from here with Bass? Obviously, he got a contract extension with the team. There were reports. I think they were true, but that the Bills were checking out kickers or maybe working them out, what have you. And ultimately, he was not the only kicker missing kicks on Monday night. But, man, it feels like it has really come to a head here.
Yeah, I think they have to start looking for other alternatives. And it doesn't mean you have to have that this Sunday. But I don't know how much longer you can go with putting Tyler Bass out there and just, you know, really kind of hoping that he makes what should be a routine kick for him, 45, 46, 47 yards. Now, it was windy on Monday night, there's no doubt, but you still got to make those kicks. And I know that there was some debate on whether or not the first one was tipped. It still wasn't struck very well. You got to make these kicks, and he hasn't been making them. And Sean McDermott said after the game, he knows he has to make these kicks. Greg Zuerlein also is a, I think that's a great example, though, guys, of, you know, you either, it seems like right now it's the haves and have nots with kickers in the league. Either you have one that's hitting all the time from everywhere, or you have one that you're just, it's super inconsistent, right? There's just kind of been no middle ground, it feels like, which is why I think it's also very tricky, because who are you going to bring in that you're not thinking, I don't know if he's going to make it? Is there a street free agent you're bringing in that's replacing Tyler Bass that you're just really confident in? Then why is he a street free agent, right? Like, is there a guy that doesn't have a job that all of a sudden you're thinking, oh yeah, he'll make all these kicks? I'm not so sure. So I still think that Tyler Bass is still probably, you know, better than those alternatives. But at the same time, I don't know how you can keep going forward here, because for whatever reason, mentally, physically, whatever it is, it's just something that's going to wind up really kind of coming back and back at them again more and more, because as much as you think that it's going to turn around the next week, here comes another missed kick, and there comes more inconsistency. So I don't know where they go from here. I'd be stunned if they're not at least looking into alternatives. It doesn't mean that it has to happen today or tomorrow. And if they do have an alternative, I don't think it means that Tyler Bass is gone right away. Could be. They could make a move. It might just be, hey, let's sign somebody to the practice squad, get him in here, see what he can do, have him kick in our stadium, you know, in practice and things like that. And then if Tyler Bass has another week of struggles, maybe you make a move on that.
And then, Sal, I did want to get your thoughts on this. I mean, it is, of course, the trade that kicked off yesterday. Davante Adams to the Jets. It's felt like that has been written on the wall for a few weeks here. That seemed to be not the only team involved, but I would say definitely the favorite. He goes there. I mean, the trade's announced, and he was already in New York. I mean, that kind of tells you how everything was going. But what do you make of
Yeah, and he's already playing this week despite the hamstring injury the last 2 weeks. That's
miracles
about, right?
Of modern medicine.
Listen,
Sal, never forget.
That airplane that he flew on was real special, okay? They had some special procedures on there. They fixed his hamstring. Yeah.
Listen, he is a fantastic player. I mean, you know, straight up one for one, I think that, you know, you'd say, okay, you'd rather have Davante Adams in a trade than Amari Cooper. But you'd think about the $11 million they're paying him versus the Bills paying only $800,000. You know, you obviously see, you know, a lot of the differences and why the deal was made this way and, you know, the benefit to the Bills. That being said, sure, Davante Adams is going to help the New York Jets. I mean, now you can't just straight up, you know, double, you know, Garrett Wilson every play. You got Garrett Wilson opposite Davante Adams. That's a nightmare. And then Breece Hall running the ball. But guys, their issue hasn't been skill players. Their issue has been protecting their quarterback and running the ball with their offensive line. Their offensive line has been the issue. Aaron Rodgers is getting the ball out very, very quickly. You know, when you have Davante Adams or Garrett Wilson, you have Hall of Fame wide receivers. Does it really make that much of a difference if you're just getting the ball out to them very quickly anyway and they're not making an impact downfield? I mean, I know they want to do that, but we'll see how it goes, because that's been more of their issue than anything. It doesn't matter how great Davante Adams is if Aaron Rodgers is lying on his back looking up at the sky all the time, right? I mean, and that's kind of what's been happening here the last few weeks. The Bills got to him, and they can't run the ball to keep teams off balance, and teams aren't as scared. Now, they had some nice numbers running the ball against the Bills. They certainly did, but it wasn't like they controlled the game on the ground, right? So, yes, of course it's going to help the New York Jets because he's a fantastic football player. I just don't know if it really addresses their biggest problem, which then leads to how much of an impact can it really make.
So, Sal, one thing that I thought was pretty interesting about both of these trades, actually, is that they come pretty early on before the trade deadline. Do you think this, you know, makes the trade market active now, or do you think it goes back into a little bit of a hibernation period? And also for the Bills and Jets, I mean, what does this mean in terms of, you know, their ability to make trades for the rest of the deadline here?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the Bills still have a lot of draft capital next year. Despite giving up the third-round pick they did next year for Amari Cooper, they did get a sixth back. So I tweeted out today, if you guys can look at it, at Sal Sports on X. Now, if you take the projected comp picks that they're going to get in this coming draft for last year's losses of Gabe Davis and Leonard Floyd, the Bills still have 10 draft picks next year, guys. And you're talking 2 twos and 3 fours. That's still a lot of draft capital. If the Bills evaluate their roster and say, you know what, we still need a little bit more against the run. You know what, we still need a little bit more pass rush. Maybe we still need another wide receiver. They can still play in that market a little bit if they want. Now, I don't think Brandon Bean has a huge desire to start just shedding off all this draft capital. This is a transition year, and they've kind of set themselves up to be able to have some money free next year and have some draft capital, which they have. But they're not out of the marketplace to be able to make trades if they feel that there's something out there for them to make. As far as the league is concerned, I mean, you know, these things come in bunches. We saw this, but now it's already a little bit later in the week. I'd be surprised if we see anything really come up, you know, now that we're sitting here on a Wednesday into Thursday tomorrow, and then maybe next week it starts back over again and we see a couple of these things start happening again.
And then, Sal, real quick before we let you get out of here, we got a very busy day over at One Bills Drive. The Yankees, Aaron Judge, first home run of the postseason. How are we feeling?
Well, I love the fact that Judge finally got one. You know, he was having better at-bats, and he was getting walks, and he had a nice sacrifice fly. So he was getting better at-bats. He felt like he was close, and he finally, you know, put one out. And hopefully that just kind of propels them. But they got to go back to Cleveland, and Cleveland's a tough place to play. That's a really great home field advantage they have. They have a really good home record. So, I mean, I'm not sitting here counting anything yet. I mean, it's a nice spot to be in, up 2-0. You only need two more wins to win the series. But going back to Cleveland, anything can happen. If Cleveland gets Game 3, that's a brand-new series, guys. So, yeah. I'm feeling very, very good about what they've done the first two games. There's no doubt about that. But you got to get one out of two in Cleveland. I'd really prefer that first one.
All right. Sounds good. Sal, thanks for jumping on with us. We'll talk again soon.
All right, guys. Thanks.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. We do have some Sabres news. JJ Paterka available to play tonight against the Penguins. That, of course, per head coach Lindy Ruff. And then Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is going to be in net tonight. Not too surprising on the goalie, and happy to see for Paterka because I think that man has got all kinds of potential on offense.
I just hope that he's, I mean, if he's available for the lineup, I'm sure he's ready to go.
Yeah, but that's what I'm imagining, is he's going to be ready to go. And
I'm glad to see he's coming back this soon after that hit, because that I was really nervous about that hit, because that would have been the second global series in a row. The Sabres go overseas, and one of their star players comes back with a concussion. Last time it was Dahlin.
Yeah.
This time it was almost JJ Paterka. Mm-hmm. It just never go to Europe again, please. Don't do it. Don't. Anytime the NHL calls, I would argue, don't do it.
I would argue to do it or not do it too, because you can't win there. Like, you're not winning.
No, either. The last time he won there was in 2011.
Yeah, and see, that's not good.
Far too long. That's 13 years.
Yep. Let's go to the phone lines. Get Connect to Our Fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Brett's been waiting here a long time. Brett, how are we doing this morning?
Not yet, no.
Brett, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry, guys.
No problem.
All right. So, something that, you know, as a Bills fan for 30 years now, it disappoints me that we even had to go out and get Amari Cooper. I know everybody's excited. I get it, you know. But why did Brandon Bean not go up, go up in the draft? You know, Sal was just talking about all this draft capital we had for next year or for this coming draft. You know, we could have used some of that draft capital to go up and get Xavier Legette. I mean, we let Kansas City take Xavier Worthy. Yeah, you know, has he panned out Kansas City completely? No, but he's made a lot of good plays, right? I know Xavier Legette hasn't really done much in Carolina because he doesn't have a great quarterback. But Josh Allen is a great quarterback, and Xavier Legette could have flourished in Buffalo. And you know, you guys just talked about Keon Coleman being a slot guy and Khalil Shakir being a slot guy. We have too many slot guys. You know, so the fact that we had to go out and get Amari Cooper is kind of disappointing to me that we didn't get somebody in the draft, because you look past, you know, the past 5 years, look at all the great receivers that have come out of the draft. You know, yes, I understand Justin Jefferson is a once-in-a-generational talent. I get that. But there's a lot of other guys who have been solid in their first, second years. You know, and I'm disappointed in Keon. I understand it's still early. You know, maybe he will be a great wide receiver in the next 2 or 3 years. But right now, you know, Josh's window, he's in his prime. You know, Brandon Bean, I get we're in a transition year, but every year has got to be a year for Josh Allen to go and get a ring. Thanks for letting me talk, guys.
Yeah, Brett, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Brett.
I have a tough time with that, the last point, because while yes, it is technically correct, you cannot operate like that. The Bills are in transition year, but starting 4-2, being first in the division, seeing the AFC as a whole is not great. I think Nate Geary was even tweeting that exact phrasing. You make a move. You go get Amari Cooper on the cheap, what have you.
And
on the draft, I had my favorites too. It sounds like Xavier Legette was yours. They didn't go get him. They picked the guy they want.
Yeah.
I do agree, though, there's probably too many slot guys, especially, and maybe my biggest issue with Keon up to this point this year, I mean, to the point where I was looking for any numbers that would tell me he was getting separation, is the fact that he's not getting open, that all of the issues or worries you had coming out of college are still a thing.
Early on, but still a thing. It's something he had never done. And like you just said, that was what we were worried about, and our worries have come true so far. But you've brought it up twice today now. It's if Cooper comes in here and pushes Coleman to the slot, which I think he will, that changes things.
Arguably, they do still have too many slots. Because Khalil Shakir is just going to be he's one of the best slot receivers of football today.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like just right now he is, and he's got better hands than 90% of the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he catches basically anything thrown his way. This is where, though, I'm probably going to say this for the next 15, 20 years, but you need to draft receivers. You need to make sure the cupboard is not empty. Them going to get Cooper is an acknowledgement that the cupboard got empty. It is.
Right. Yeah.
Now, with that being said, and why I don't criticize them nearly as much as the Jets, is that for the Bills, it was like kind of the only weakness. You didn't have boundary wide receiver. Yeah. You didn't have a guy that defenses were going to have to like kind of stare at and go, okay, make sure he does not get open. Because Cooper has been a guy who on a whim, on a random day, and this is not hyperbole, puts up 200-yard games.
Yeah.
I think he has 5 in his career.
And I want to go back to the Xavier Legette thing, too, because while I like Xavier Legette as a player, too, coming into the draft, he's not the type of guy that I would have said, if you go and get him, this season looks completely different. You don't have to trade for Amari Cooper. Mm-hmm. He's very much in the same vein as Coleman of, like, yes, he has traits, he has the abilities, but he's not quite there yet. Brian Thomas Jr., on the other hand, he was personally my favorite coming into the draft.
Yeah, that one kind of hurts.
He would have been completely different. If you go out and get Brian Thomas Jr. in the draft, then I think it's different. I think it's you wouldn't be in the situation where you're looking at Amari Cooper and thinking, that's the guy we need on our team right now because what we have isn't quite there. If you have a Brian Thomas Jr., looking at what he's done in Jacksonville, it's a completely different conversation. And again, these are all rookie players coming into their first year, so you never know what they're going to do with their teams. I mean, look at Xavier Worthy. He was the fastest man, the speedy man. Like,
they've been able to use him in a variety of roles.
Right, but
he has 2 more touchdowns than Coleman purely due to the running game.
Right, but other than that, he has the same yardage, the same type of receptions.
Actually, he has less yardage. They have the same number of catches. Worthy's at 179, Coleman's at 202.
Yeah, because the Chiefs are on a bye week this week. So obviously Coleman got a little more action there. But I look at, you know, when rookies come into this league, each year is vastly different than the last. Like, it's not something to hang like a season on, because I don't think that, you know, a different rookie other than Keon Coleman would have made that much of a difference this year. I think we'd still be having the same conversation unless you get a big name, a top three.
You know, well, I think the only rookie that I've seen up to this point that I'm like, oh, yeah, all right, if he was on the Bills, they probably don't make the Cooper trade, and it is Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah, or anyone above him. The other big three. But he was number four.
Yeah, they were in somewhat of a position if they wanted to, you know, reaching into this year's draft capital.
Yep. But they didn't.
They could have made the jump up, got him before Jacksonville. I'm partially glad they didn't. Again, there's a lot of receivers coming into every single draft. I just want to see the Bills then not it's tough for me to say I don't want to see them already extend Cooper when he literally hasn't even practiced yet for the Bills. But there will always be a part of me that's like, no, I want them to go younger. You know, I want them to go draft that guy to get them on the cheap, to have them for 4 years before you even have
don't
to pay
Don't be a
somebody.
Rental team, be a dynasty team.
Be a team that, like, you're seeing the young core come together because you're seeing on the defense. Terrell Bernard comes back and in 2 weeks is already making huge plays after missing a few weeks. Teron Johnson is the best nickel corner in the sport. Dorian Williams, with Matt Milano out, is making plays every single week. Like, they've got a good young core. Even Ray Davis, who they just drafted this year, is kind of
he
already
fantastic.
He's telling you kind of already in a very short sample size that in a year or two, when you've got to talk about maybe, you know, oh, do we extend James Cook? Ray Davis is already kind of telling you, nope, no, you don't.
Yep.
You'll be just fine with me. So it's tough for me to immediately point to rookies now, Brian Thomas Jr. kind of being the only one that they had a shot to. Then I'm like, if they didn't get him, or if they got him, the Cooper trade, I don't even want to say likely, but likely is not made. 803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump in talking about Amari Cooper. Sabres game tonight as well. Love to hear your thoughts. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.